Welkom bij de Best of Thrillers podcast. In deze podcast interviewen we Nederlandse en buitenlandse thriller-auteurs. In deze 20e aflevering spreken we Carla Kovacs, auteur van de thrillerreeks met in de hoofdrol inspecteur Gina Hart. Onlangs verscheen haar 9e thriller. Toen waren er 4. Mrs. Kovacs, dear Carla, welcome to the Best of Thrillers podcast.
Oh, thank you.
This time we will talk about One Left Behind, translated as Toen waren er 4. 5 high school friends, 3 girls and 2 boys enjoy a camping party with a lot of drinking and dancing around the campfire. The next morning, Leah, one of the girls, is found dead near their camp. Gina and her team have to find out what happened. She interviews the friends one by one and has the feeling they do not tell the whole truth about what happened. The meaning of friendship plays a crucial role in the book. What are your own memories of your life as a teenager? And what was the youth of Gina like, do you think?
Gina, I think she would have always stuck up for the underdog at school. So I reckon Gina would have stood up to the bullies. I reckon she would have had a couple of close friends, but not many friends. I don't think she would have been hugely popular in my own eyes. Myself, I enjoyed school up until probably about age 13, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
When I started high school, I did have quite a few friends at school and I enjoyed it, and friendship played a big part. But I guess when we enter high school and our mid-teens, getting on towards our mid-teens, it becomes a bit more tedious. It's harder to fit in. It's harder to feel like you're part of things. And you feel like you have to do things to keep up with people. I didn't particularly succumb to peer pressure much. But I do understand how easy it could be for a lot of people. But yeah, I didn't particularly enjoy high school.
Yeah, and did you think a lot about your own high school time while writing?
No, not necessarily. Actually, the thing that did spark this particular book, not that my daughter got up to all this, was when she was about, I think she was about 13, maybe 14, she told me she was staying at a friend's, the classic, I'm staying at this friend, and that friend obviously said she was stopping with me and her. And she'd gone on a big camping trip in the woods with a friend. And I went looking for her the next day, and it turns out she wasn't where she was, and neither was the other girl.
Oh.
They'd all gone camping in the woods and drinking, and my daughter just turned up after sleeping in the woods with a very big hangover.
Yeah. So,
but she was perfectly safe and no one got murdered.
Yeah. But there were some scary hours.
Yeah, they were. And that's how it started. She didn't do that again. She was in big trouble. But that was the spark of the book. So it was my daughter's experience I drew on, really, and my experience as a parent with her.
Yeah, and your own fears.
Yeah, my own fears, yeah.
Yeah. Because all friends seem to hide some crucial information, they are all suspect. But Gina wonders, is it information that has to do with the death of Leah specific? Or is it more general information about activities they are forbidden to do by their parents, like drinking booze, having sex, causing trouble for the neighbors of some kind? How does Gina work to find this out? This is, of course, very crucial. People tend to hide a lot of stuff about their own life, but are, for that reason, not necessarily suspect of murdering. How does Gina work?
They do, regardless of there being a murder involved. I saw the teenagers really as still knowing that they could get in trouble criminally for all the damage they've caused and some of the things they've done and the fact that they've been using drugs. And I thought that they would probably go very far to conceal that still, even if it meant holding up a murder case, because they still don't want their parents to find out. They still don't want to get into trouble. And Gina then has to work harder to uncover what's gone on, because everybody's hiding something.
Yeah, I guess also in real life, this happens a lot, right? That police officers must make small or bigger decisions, like this seems to be a real clue towards the crime, or this is just something one doesn't want to share.
Yeah, I mean, they must do it. It must be really hard, especially when people are holding half of the story back from you for personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess it must be tricky in real life. Watch a few crime programs and documentaries, and a lot of the ones I've watched, a lot don't tell the truth to begin with. It's almost got to be wheedled out. It's more when the detective or the police officer investigating finds out more and that gets put to them, that they tell more then.
Mm-hmm. Because they have to.
Yeah, they've got no choice really.
They've got
by
no
then.
Choice then. Yeah, right, right. Meanwhile, we also meet other persons who could have been involved with the death of Leah. A local bar owner, a truck driver, and also a certain Frank Megan. He lives together with his disabled wife, Sandy, near the camp place and has in the past been convicted for illegal filming of women and girls. We get to know their bad relationship. Frank abuses Sandy both mentally and physically. It made me think of the worldwide phenomenon of violence against women and femicide. Do you know the figures and the situation in the UK?
I don't know any actual figures. I have read a lot. Mm-hmm. And have read a lot surrounding the figures, etc., but I cannot remember them offhand.
No, but did you read a lot about femicide?
Yeah, I tend to read as much as I can. I read articles, I read a lot of books. One particular one I did find really useful was one by Laura Bates, and it's called Men Who Hate Women.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really insightful book.
Yeah.
I generally watch the news and try and keep up with what's happening.
Yeah, in the last year, there were a couple of news items here in Holland, not specifically taking place in Holland, but it was in the world news. I guess Turkey and other countries in which a lot of women are abused or even killed within families or in relationships.
Yeah, there's so many cases. I think if you went looking for them, you could pretty much find new cases all the time. I have read a lot of disturbing cases. I can't remember them all specifically.
No.
The one that stuck with me mostly was the young woman who removed her veil in Iran and mm-hmm. started the movement.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of disturbing stuff going on. I find it really disturbing.
It's very disturbing, very disturbing. The scenes about Frank and Sandy are horror, and they are very well written. You really get the feeling of, oh my God. It's sometimes horrific to be aware of the fact that once a door is closed, all things that take place in a house are not seen and are secret, more in general sense. And those scenes you write are very coming very close under the skin.
Yeah, I found actually writing Sandra's scenes quite upsetting because I did feel her powerlessness as I was writing them, because she's also powerless because of the abuse and the fact that she's trapped with Frank. But
yeah,
the fact that it's physically trapped as well.
And she's in a wheelchair, so it's even harder to run from him. She is also depending on him when it comes down to the house and the food. And you feel this dependency. It's gruesome.
Yeah, it is. And since because of her accident, she lost a livelihood, and he's made her feel like that, whereas she probably could have gone back to work somehow or found another job or something that suited her. He's kept her from doing that.
Yeah, well, I think Frank beat mentally and physically all the power from her.
Yeah.
At different moments in the story, the right of self-determination is discussed. Do people have the right to act when government seems to fail when it comes to the punishment of criminals? Formally, one would, of course, say no. but sometimes one can understand the frustrations of victims and their relatives so good that one tends to understand acts of aggression. What is your vision in this matter, and what do you feel and think when you write about those questions?
Yeah, I can understand people's fear, community fear, about someone they feel isn't being, that the police aren't bringing them in and dealing with them. But then I can understand that people can't be treated like they're guilty until they've been proven as guilty.
Right.
So there's two sides to that.
Yeah.
But it's hard to imagine unless you're personally touched by it, because your emotions may well run much higher depending on the issue. Or
no, I fully agree. One is guilty when it's proven, right? Some of the events in the story should be forbidden, but you can of course feel the frustration of the people who are thinking the government doesn't take care of us, right? They let go of guilty people, or suspected people are walking free. So perhaps sometimes a demonstration or something could be good to put something on the political agenda or so. But basically, self-determination is, of course, I think, not good.
Yeah, I think definitely protest does more than likely force politicians to talk about things a bit quicker than they would normally.
Yeah.
But then again, I can understand people's anger. I mean, sexual crime and rape, for example, that there's so few convictions and so few people brought forward, and so many people are let off. I can understand people's frustrations in that area.
Sure. Yeah, I feel that too. And I think those people should demonstrate and should raise their voices, but not preferably attack the people they want to get in prison or...
Poor Sandra, because she was in the book, Sandra was innocent, really.
Yeah.
But she bore the brunt of what the protesters were doing.
Yeah, Sandra is very pitiful, because she's a victim of someone who is guilty.
Yes.
And she gets the blame.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. She gets it all, really.
During the whole story, Carla, it's very, very hot. Everyone is sweating all the time. The days are hot, the nights are hot. What role does the weather play? I remember that the other book I interviewed you about, it was raining all the time. But in this book, it's all sweat.
Yeah, we've had intense heat waves the past few years. I don't know whether you have to. You must have done. And I do find the weather personally quite distracting. Maybe I shouldn't mention it quite so much. But
I liked it. I think it's makes it all sticky, sweaty, and stuffy, and that worked well. That worked well. But another question would be: do you think about this element while writing? I want it to be hot, or I want it to be rainy or cold. Or snowy, even.
Yeah, I just tend to try and imagine what the weather's like here at the time of the year that I'm writing. And so far, we've had so much rain up until now.
I
could write it as raining every day in all my books, and it would be believable for Britain.
Yeah.
Apart from the heat wave.
Yeah, and this is more or less a heat wave, right?
Yeah, I personally feel the hot and the cold a lot. I have a thyroid problem, so I feel the cold a lot.
Okay.
And I'm perimenopausal, so I can feel the hot a lot too. So I think maybe it's a personal thing, the hot and the cold as well, that I'm very weather affected.
And what does the heat do to you?
You would have thought I would have liked it. I used to love hot weather, but now I absolutely hate it when it's really hot. If it gets to 32, 33, I can't really move or do much, and I don't enjoy it much at all.
No.
Apart from if I can just lie in a pool. That's good if I'm on holiday and I'm in a pool.
Yeah, you have to cool yourself down.
I can't imagine being in the police. And I mean, I do admire them through all the weather, because being in the police, especially in uniform as well, during the summer months with all that equipment.
And yes, makes the work even harder, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. And forensics people in their forensic suits with bodies, it must just be horrible. You can't imagine, can you?
And that's something that atmosphere plays a big role, at least in my opinion, and it works very well. For Gina, the concept of guilt and the search for forgiveness are very important. She carries a gruel memory with her, with which she is confronted in Te Waren Er Vier. Years before, she was involved in the death of her husband, Terry. Do you think Gina sometimes doubts she has a right to arrest people for their crimes due to her feelings of guilt or her doubts?
No, I think she's okay with arresting people, but I do think it comes back to haunt her a lot, and she thinks more about it than other people would. Because, yeah, she knows she's also done something which she could get into a lot of trouble for if she confessed.
So you think it doesn't interfere with her work?
It doesn't interfere with her work, no.
But she suffers a lot thinking of her past.
Yeah, it interferes with her, I think, but not her work.
With her own psychology.
Yeah. I think the guilt wears her down.
Yeah. But there is a hopeful evolvement in the story. Both the storyline of the camping kids as the story of Frank and Sandy Meegan remind Gina of her past. But she learns about herself as the stories unfold, I have the impression. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think she finds a way of fighting back in this one a little bit.
Yeah.
When she gets to confront someone very significant towards the end. I won't mention
No. I fully agree. Yeah.
But I think that is a moment that she needed that she could...
She gets more convinced, right? She fights back. She fights back her own doubts. And I think this is very well composed in Te Waren Er Vier. So you've got the story, the crime itself, which has different angles, but there's also the story about Gina, who is in this novel very important because she makes a step in her own mind, right?
Yeah, she does. I think that confrontation was needed, I think, between the two parties. I don't think it will be the end of it.
No. Let's hope not.
I feel like they've played their cards on the table a little bit.
Yeah.
So they don't know where they're coming from. And each one knows what the other knows.
Yeah.
Is aware what the other one is thinking as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I really enjoyed writing that scene, actually.
Right, I can imagine. And towards the end of the story, Gina steps up for herself and is really stronger than at the beginning of the story. And that makes it a very special book.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
The final question comes from a reader, a follower of the Best of Thrillers page. And that's about the future. It's a question by Tamara van Holten van Zandvoort. It's about the future. How do you come up with new storylines? Do you ever have a moment when you don't know how to begin?
No, I've just signed a full book contract with Bookature, and I'm over halfway through book 16, and then I've got another 3 to write in this contract. During the next 2 years, while I'm writing these 4, I just come up with little ideas as I go along, and I keep noting them down and then expanding on them. Just little thoughts like, what if I was to break down here? Or, you know, what if anything, you know, if I was in this somebody's private swimming pool when I shouldn't be there, and the pool cover came over. You know, that's just the silly example. Yeah.
So you never run out of ideas while writing, you get new ideas.
Yeah, that's it. I have a folder full of them, and then what I do when I come round to pitching some new storylines is I go through all my ideas, and I pick several and work them through a little bit, and then maybe narrow it down to three or four of the ones I feel are the strongest ones, and then I'll work those a bit deeper.
So never out of ideas. You just have to make choices within.
Yeah, it is more like that, making choices.
That's quite a relief for all readers.
Oh, yeah. I feel like my head's bursting some days.
Carla, we'll meet halfway June, right? Because June 15 and 16, you will make a tour around the country with your colleague and Dutch thriller author, Nathalie Pachy.
Yes.
Who has then just published Vlissingen, her new novel. I'm looking forward to that tour. And I'm sure that the followers of Best of Thrillers will show up at the bookstores. We'll let them know the details. And I'm looking forward to your trip.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it too. And I'm really looking forward to seeing anyone who turns up and having a chat with everyone. That would be lovely.
In advance, thanks for dropping by halfway June. See you then. Thank you for this interview, Carla.
I'll see you then. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
June.
Bye.
Bye.
Bezoek voor meer informatie over thrillers de FB-pagina of de Instagram-pagina van Best of Thrillers. Dank voor het luisteren en tot de volgende Best of Thrillers podcast. Vind je dit nou een goede podcast? Beloon ons dan met je sterren.